more. For stress-free summer travel home, fly local, fly Sheridan.
At Wyoming Rehab, our mission is to keep you moving, playing, and living life to the fullest. Our expert team at Wyoming Rehab specializes in physical, occupational, and speech therapy, offering personalized care that gets you back to the activities you enjoy most. Schedule a free screening with our team of kind and compassionate experts at Wyoming Rehab and leave with treatment recommendations. Call Wyoming Rehab at 307-674-1632 or visit SheridanHospital.org to learn more today.
At Sheridan Funeral Home, we are experienced and skilled professionals who will guide you through your time of loss, listen to your needs and wishes, and take care of every detail. Hi, this is Carrie Kimmel. We have deep roots in the Sheridan community. We take pride in being able to lighten the burden as you take the first steps toward healing following your loss. Your needs and wishes are what matter most. Visit SheridanFuneral.com. Sheridan Funeral Home and Cremation's compassionate service for the Sheridan community.
So how did you make your first $1 million?
Well, on average, people spend $147 billion a year on dog accessories.
Oh, so you have a designer doggy clothing line.
No, that market is saturated. I started a designer clothing line for fish. I call it Get Your Bass in Gear.
Brilliant. Designer clothing gear for fish.
Yes, now it's a multi-million dollar a year industry. People take photos of their fish in my design.
Oh, they can submit those photos to the Fish Your Bass Off photo contest at SheridanMedia.com.
Yes, on the contest page, you can enter now through Labor Day, and the winner will get $300 from Connect Home Center, $300 from Century 21 BHJ Realty.
Indeed, everyone should get their bass in gear.
This is Public Pulse, your information and conversation program, brought to you by First Federal Bank and Trust. You can voice your opinion by calling 672-KROE. That's 672-5763. Now, your host for Public Pulse, Floyd Whiting.
Thursday, July 24th. And from Wyoming's Emerald City, I'm Floyd Whiting, and this is Public Pulse. This morning, I'm joined by Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and the newly promoted Patrol Lieutenant and Undersheriff Doug Sanders. Sheriff, good to see you.
Good morning, Floyd. How are you?
I'm doing great. I haven't seen you since the parade. How did it go?
It was good. It was good. You know, Wild Rodeo was a great event this year again, and the parade, and gosh, the weather.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think of how many years it's been where we've had, I know some of the parade goers weren't liking the rain and the mist, but, you know, being in, you know, full uniform, and for all of our staff, all of law enforcement professionals being in uniform for so many hours, like it was refreshing. Yeah. On law enforcement's end to have a cooler parade day for sure.
One thing about parade day, I think you had either walked up right at the moment or maybe previously, and I can't remember if I addressed it with you or not, but I looked over at a corner and there was a city police officer, a sheriff deputy, and a highway patrolman sharing coffee together. Just having a good morning, how you doing type of situation. I just thought, that's cool.
Yeah.
That is really cool.
No, and it's great, you know, especially with like Wild Rodeo, you bring in like troopers, for instance, like coming in from all parts of the state. That trooper that was over there in the corner, him and I went to the academy together.
Oh, wow.
So after you and I visited, I went up and got a chance and we visited for a while because he's in a different part of the state. And so it was just good to catch up and see him and all the successes that he has and has had throughout the career. And we talked about families and things like that. So it was great. It was good to see him.
And, you know, I've talked to some gentlemen who were in law enforcement for a lot of years. A couple of them have since retired. And they talked about, you know, rivalries back in the day and how glad they are to see those gone. You know, the cooperation over the past probably decade or so has really improved across agencies, and not just here. They said, you know, this is kind of statewide.
Yeah, no, across the state, you know, again, it's not, you know, the turf wars, what's yours is, you know, those types of different things. I think the only rivalry ever is still now between fire and law enforcement. You know, those guys at the fire station are, I think they're doing workout right now and then maybe nap time or something like that, you know, coffee break or no, I give those guys a hard time because my, you know, previous past was within fire, but
I was going to say you, that's where you started.
Yep.
So you can give them
I give them heck for sure.
When I was in the service, that was something that was quite prevalent, was the rivalry between branches. And I think it's like brothers and sisters picking on each other. You know, we're all part of the same house, but I'm going to punch in the arm every once in a while. Yeah.
And then when, you know, you take all that aside, you know, the heckling and the joking and giving everybody a hard time, when there's an emergency within our community, when everybody needs to pull together, when we talk about our first responders, we're all there for each other.
Absolutely.
Whether you're, you know, Sheridan Police Department, you know, a state trooper, Game and Fish, Sheriff's Office, Fire Rescue, EMS, it doesn't matter. We're all there for the same goal, and that's to make sure everybody's safe, to keep our community safe. And we come together in a moment's notice, and the joking's all put aside, mm-hmm. and we go to work, and we do that for the community. And yeah. That's what's special.
And I think that is, you know, kind of part of it as well. You know, I'm comfortable enough with this individual to joke around because of the things that we've seen together, the stuff that we've gone through together to help keep the community safe, to help people live through some pretty bad situations. So it's all fantastic to actually see that. But I don't think I've ever in my life seen, you know, all three agencies standing on a corner together, just sharing coffee and a laugh before the parade started. It was fantastic to see. Lieutenant Sanders, congratulations, sir.
Thank you.
Undersheriff. Now, before we go into Lieutenant Sanders, Sheriff, let's start with this promotion process. Can you walk us through how the LT was selected? Because I understand it in, you know, peer reviews, community law enforcement panels, and mm-hmm. what is the assessment center?
Yeah, no, great question. And, you know, this is something that was done when I was, you know, getting promoted, something that Sheriff Alan Thompson had incorporated when he became sheriff and looking for his patrol lieutenant under sheriff. Ultimately, I was selected for that, but you know, bringing that in. So the peer review part is basically what it sounds. It's you know, the peers, those individuals working at the sheriff's office get the opportunity to review those deputies that are putting in for this position. So we get to kind of see, you know, and it's really, you know, sitting down with our staff saying, hey, you got to be honest in a good way to show what are the strengths and weaknesses of each one of these candidates. And, you know, how you respect them. And there were seven different, you know, areas that they had to review them on, you know, things from, you know, anything, understanding our policies and procedures, from being community focused to kind of being, what kind of leadership style do they see this individual, their commitment to the sheriff's office and so forth. And so all of our staff got input into that process and take a look at those. And then there was really some guidelines of looking so we can kind of see who stood out, you know, amongst the four candidates that put in for this position. So that was one step of the promotional process. And it was a great to kind of get that feedback, you know, and it allows our office to be a part of that. So it allows our staff to say, hey, we had a voice in mm-hmm. this as well, right? As long as it's done right and correct, it's a great way to take a look at that. The second part was the interview panel, and that consisted of community members, and then also consisted of some law enforcement professionals that weren't from, you know, the sheriff's office or, you know, closely work, like it wasn't from our office, but we had some that those candidates had to go through. So they had some, you know, really difficult questions and got to be interviewed by not only community members throughout Sheridan County, but then law enforcement administrators, professionals, you know, were a part of that too. So then it was great because you saw the collaboration between, you know, our law enforcement community and our community members coming together, interviewing our candidates, and then getting the opportunity to talk about this is the different things we see. And so them coming together and ultimately saying, yeah, this is who we feel, you know, was the best candidate through that interview process. And then the third and final was the assessment center, which is the WASCOPS assessment center. The Wyoming Association of Sheriffs and Chiefs of Police put on assessment centers for first line supervision. So for like your corporals and sergeants to be promoted, and then also mid-level assessment center, mid-level supervisors for like lieutenants and law enforcement administrators. And so they go through an assessment center, and it's a day and a half assessment center. I mean, it's rigorous.
Wow.
And so they are also scored in different things, accountability, you know, commitment, those types of things, and looking and putting that. And they go through, you know, written assessment, you know, tests. They go through different scenarios and things like that. So then getting that holistic look of peer reviews, community interviews, the assessment center, you bring all that together, and then we come up with, you know, which I say made it very difficult. We had four amazing candidates that, you know, any one of them could have done this job. I don't mean that in any, but it was great to see that, because that's something that we've been trying to put forth at the sheriff's office, is leadership development, right? To develop any one of our deputies to be able to step in my shoes if ever needed. And so when you look at that, but ultimately, you know, Lieutenant Sanders stood out in those areas and was selected. So
that's fantastic. What an amazing vetting process to really go through and look at the development of an individual throughout an entire career. For anyone who's out there listening right now, if you've ever sat in front of a board, that can be quite nerve-wracking, right, LT?
Yes, very much so.
Now, for those who may not know, you've been around for quite a while here mm-hmm. in Sheridan. You and I have spoke on I think at least two or three occasions, and but to accept this position, you had to kind of give up what you were doing, and you had one of the best partners that a law enforcement officer could ever want.
I absolutely did. I had to give up my canine, which is Canine Fox, that I had fielded for 2 years, and I assisted in bringing the canine idea back to fruition with the Sharon County Sheriff's Office, because I think we had a lapse of about 10 years with no canine. So it was a tough decision. It was easy in a sense, because Deputy Kayla Oswald was ultimately selected. We had another selection process for the canine handler position, and she was selected, and she's been at training with Canine Fox. They recently got certified, so she'll be coming back to the road here in about a week and a half. And it sounds like they've been getting along very, very well. So that puts my mind at ease as far as the dog's concerned.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic. Having to hand that off, though, like you said, what a tough choice, you know, mm-hmm. When you got a good partner, you want to hold that partnership. Now, would you tell us a little bit about your career so far, and how does it feel stepping into this leadership position?
It's big shoes to fill, by no stretch of the means, but my career so far, it's somewhat diverse. I obtained my bachelor's degree in criminal justice from the University of Wyoming. I graduated from Bighorn, so I was a local to the area beforehand. But I started in the Sharon County Detention Center in 2005, worked in there for about 2.5 years, was a supervisor and an FTO, and ultimately my mind was set on patrol. So I went to patrol, and through that time on patrol, I was a corporal, now lieutenant, was a TFO with DCI for approximately 3 years of that time. And yeah. So, and then obviously canine was a part of that for a couple of years as well. So I've kind of moved throughout, and time and experience is something you can't teach. And I've been exposed to a lot of things throughout the years, and I think that aids in my ability to be lieutenant and be effective in it.
Undersheriff, is there a moment in your life that you can pinpoint where you knew, I'm going into law enforcement, I want to wear the badge?
I would say probably in college, because initially I was a business major. I have a twin brother that was a criminal justice major at the time at college, and he kind of pushed me over to that realm, and I've always had a lot of respect for law enforcement. So I switched career paths in college and continued with it, and my twin brother did as well, and so he's also in law enforcement.
That's fantastic. That's amazing to think there's two of you out there running around,
well, yeah,
taking down the bad guys.
And so even when I started at the sheriff's office, like we had both Sanders brothers at the sheriff's office. You know, they were both working there at one time. So we had, two of the Sanders twins at the sheriff's office.
Powerful combination there. That's awesome. Now, what would you say are your priorities, sir, as you step into this leadership position?
As of right now, obviously I'm still learning everything that the position encompasses, but first and foremost, supporting patrol staff through training and leadership development. So the sheriff's office is successful in providing law enforcement services and continues to do it because I already think we do a great job, and I think our patrol staff is already great, so it makes my job, I think, in theory, a little easier. The other part of that is just I'm excited to work closely with the sheriff in this new capacity. I've worked with him, obviously, through our office before, but as a lieutenant, I'm even more so working alongside of him, so I'm excited for that opportunity as well.
And what are some of the things that you would cover with an undersheriff that you wouldn't be going over with other ranks?
You know, when I look at this role and being a part of this role is you kind of have to be well-versed in just everything of all the sheriff's office operations. So, you know, Doug has to wear two hats as the patrol lieutenant, making sure that our patrol division is, you know, providing law enforcement services in that patrol realm really good. But as the undersheriff, you know, kind of being, you know, second in command at the sheriff's office, understanding the capabilities that our front office administration, you know, has to go through and work with our jail, you know, division, you know, our detention division. So working closely, you know, with our jail administrator, Lieutenant Gibbons, and making sure that the jail, you know, is running smoothly, which with Lieutenant Gibbons, where he's at, has been amazing. When I came into this role, Doug, what Doug has going for him that I didn't when I became undersheriff was I didn't have detention experience. I wasn't a detention deputy prior to law enforcement. So Doug's worked in our jail, you know, so I had to spend a lot of time in the jail to understand the operation and you know, he has some of that ability, but, and then understanding the more administrative role, but then also kind of looking at a wider picture of, you know, the decisions that we make, you know, how that affects not only the sheriff's office, but the communities, the county, and those types of things is a different change, you know, versus when you're just working, you know, I'm a patrol deputy, you know, detention deputy working in that, you know, your own division, but kind of that broader look is a change.
A lot of responsibility comes with this position. And LT, was there a moment when you kind of sat down with yourself, looked at the bighorns and just had a moment of reflection on I'm ready for this or should I go for it?
Yeah, it's always a tough, you know, change can be difficult, and this is no exception to it. I realized that I wanted to pursue it. I've always liked rising up the pendulum, so to speak, as far as rank goes, and this is an opportunity I don't want to pass up, but it does come with just obviously getting out of your comfort zone and learning the new parts to this position, which is, like the sheriff said, much different than what I had originally done in patrol.
And I think that's part of the human experience. Mm-hmm. You know, we've got to walk out of our comfort zone every once in a while. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
On that, I'm going to take a quick commercial break. You're listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE at 103.9 FM, Sheridan.
Need a bank that works on your schedule?
At First Federal Bank and Trust, you can open personal checking and savings accounts anytime, online or through the First Federal app.
It's quick, simple, and designed to fit your life.
And as we celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're proud to keep making banking easier for you. Open an account today at efirstfederal.bank or on the app.
First Federal Bank and Trust, 90 years of putting our community first.
Member FDIC.
Hi, this is Jill Bates with the Bates Team at Best. It's summertime, and while kids are out of school and vacations are planned, we all know that summer gets busy in a hurry. If you're looking to buy or sell a home, now is the best time, as more people are looking and being active now than in any other season. Whether it's fall with school or winter and the holidays, there's always lots going on, so summer's a great time to make a move. Best of all, we know how busy you are, and our job is to make your life easier, meet your real estate goals, and save your summer. Call us today at 675-BEST or visit us at bestwy.net. Make it a great day.
It's the final week of Mossholder's Living Room Upholstery Sale. Save on all sofas, sectionals, accent chairs, and recliners. All special orders are on sale, too, so you can customize your favorite sofa or recliner in the fabric or leather of your choice. Mossholder's carries a wide variety of manufacturers, so we can accommodate almost any style and nearly any budget. Whether you're redoing an entire family room or just adding an accent chair, Moss Holders can help. That's Moss Holders Living Room Upholstery Sale, going on now. Moss Holders, furniture is our passion.
The following message is presented by Century 21 BHJ, 101 South Main.
The 2025 Sod Farm Festival is just around the corner, August 16th. Enjoy an amazing lineup of local musical talent, including the Kraft Brothers. This year's Sod Farm Fest benefits Sheridan Foster Parent Exchange and Fellowship of Christian Athletes. Join us at Greenside Up Sod Farm August 16th at 2 p.m. Tickets available now, $25 online and $30 at the gate. Children 12 and under are free. For more details, visit sodfarmfest.org.
Good morning and welcome back to Public Pulse. I'm your host, Floyd Whiting. This morning, we're speaking with Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, Sheriff, we were talking at the beginning of the show. We just wrapped up Wyo Rodeo Week, always a big one. From your department's perspective, from the sheriff's office perspective, the entire event as a whole, how did it go?
It went really well. You know, we talked a little bit earlier, talked about it, the parade during the interview. I think we talked about the event itself. The culture has changed to be more family-focused, community-focused. Just a lot of activities for families as a whole, has made the event, Wild Rodeo event, more family friendly, but, you know, taking some of the burden off of law enforcement, right? Mm-hmm. We still have a very, you know, I would say, really good law enforcement presence, high law enforcement presence throughout the Sheridan area during Wild Rodeo, but that's just, you know, deterrence, right? If we can deter things from happening, you know, and that. So the Sheridan Police Department has always done a great job of planning for the Wild Rodeo. We supplement, you know, the Sheriff's Office, we supplement that, you know, Wyoming High Patrol supplements that. And, you know, kind of where we stand is really providing that presence, a bigger presence up at the fairgrounds, you know, during the week for the rodeo, the carnival, and all of the after, you know, the activities after everything goes down, and ensuring that everybody's safe and being responsible. And so that's kind of the priorities that we hit.
Any bonfires this year? I don't know. And I don't want to put any ideas in anyone's head, but when we were kids, I know there was usually a bonfire somewhere that you could go join up somewhere back up in the mountains. Anything like that?
It actually went surprisingly well as far as rodeos go in my experience. No bonfires that I'm aware of, but...
There probably was some out there.
Yeah. You know.
But they're sneaky. They're sneaky.
We, like the sheriff had also said, that we always increase our staff, and that's something we've historically done and that we continue to do. So we run as much of full staffing as we can in the patrol and detention divisions, and we do have an increase in, you know, statistical data, whether it be stops, cases, citations, warnings. But I think it was nothing notable this year, yeah, other than probably the detention center saw a sizable increase in arrests over this year's rodeo weekend as opposed to last year.
Oh, really? Yeah. Minor offenses?
Or? Yeah, I mean, our bookends. So we take the numbers, you know, and we look at them through our detention division, because any arrest that's made, whether it's the Sheridan Police Department making an arrest, Highway Patrol, our office, you know, they all get booked into the Sheridan County Detention Facility, our facility. And so looking at those, we can really gauge the numbers, right, from, you know, different areas and looking in. And they were similar to years, you know, the past few years. So we didn't see an increase, you know, like you said, and nothing of note to notice. I'd like to give a shout out to the Sheridan County Prevention, you know, for their willingness to always provide funding to allow us to have extra staff patrolling during Wild Rodeo. They provide funding so that way more deputies can be out, and which is great. And they're helping us with, you know, the 4th of July date and days coming up and things. So having that collaboration, you know, amongst the community really helps us to be out, be visible, and hopefully, you know, have that presence that everybody's enjoying and partaking safely.
Sheriff, LT, when a big event like this is coming up, I know, you kind of rally the troops. I'm sure everyone's excited for it, not just because of the increased patrols, but they like to partake. They're out there with their families as well. Everybody gets excited about the rodeo. But do you, behind closed doors, do you sit down together and say, hey, let's focus on X, Y, and Z this year, and let's really try to get these numbers down or those numbers down? Anything like that, sure?
Yeah, I think there's reflection, right? What do we see that happened last year to this year? You know, what are we looking at that? You know, I think if I'm not mistaken, we had a little bit increase in DUI bookings into our jail this year than years past. And that was just because it was we were focusing really hard on that, you know, a few years ago. So maybe that's something when we get together, not only with our staff, but the Sheridan Police Department and Highway Patrol is like, all right, maybe we really hit this a little harder next year to write, you know, MIP citations. You know, we look at those and see, hey, did we have some underage drinking going on in certain areas? All right, we need to focus on that maybe, you know, in the future or not. So those are always priorities for us, but then it kind of reflects back on, hey, did we miss it here this past year? Do we need to really focus on that and move? It's a moving target, right? Mm-hmm. Every year it's a moving target, but we have to look at that statistical data that we pull and can really gauge from that and go, yeah, okay, maybe we need to really focus on this, emphasize this more. You know, we used to have, you know, I wouldn't say, you know, but there tensions sometimes when you get like some fights would break out and things like that, but having a bigger presence, having things spread out, those have decreased throughout the years. And so we're still doing a great job in those types of things. And so trying to still, you know, focus on those.
Being able to stamp out the fire before it even begins.
Absolutely.
I mean, that's really the point. You know, one thing that I've spoken with Chief Koltiska about quite frequently, and I think you on a couple different occasions, it's not about arresting people. Not at all. We're not looking for those kinds of numbers. The kinds of numbers we're looking for are zero. Mm-hmm. Zero fights this year, zero DUI, zero this, because that is a real great reflection on law enforcement and the community as a whole coming together to make sure that this fantastic event goes off and everybody is safe during the entire thing.
Behavior, right? Education, yes. Changing behavior. Those are key in law enforcement.
And, you know, not doing any kind of selfless promotion here, but Sheridan Media is always on hand. To work with law enforcement, if you would like to run a campaign on DUI, MIP, we'll try to get as much information out there as possible prior to these larger events. Maybe that'll help, maybe it won't, but it's at least an effort and a contribution on our part. We're always happy to do that with you, Sheriff. Were there any notable change in trends outside of the slight DUI increase that you saw out there? And these can be positive just as much as negative.
I you know, I always look at this as, like you said, like maybe that was notable. I think just every year it's becoming more family friendly. And we see that, excuse me, it's just fun to see. You know, again, I think, you know, 15, 20 years ago, working in public safety in the Wild Rodeo is not what it is now. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, I used to dread the Wild Rodeo, going like, oh my gosh, here we go. Like
long
it's
hours.
The long week, like dealing with that. That's no longer the case. And it's like even our staff, it's not like, oh, here we go. Because it just seems more, you know, the interactions that we have with the public are a lot more positive than they were 15, 20 years ago and those types of interactions. So I, you know, that trend is progressively getting better and better every year. And it's like I said, it's the culture, it's a change. And my hat's off to the Wild Rodeo Board, to our community, to Sheridan Police Department, our Sheriff's Office, everybody working together to make that shift. And even, you know, it's a time when folks come back. I mean, a lot of folks just come back for the Wild Rodeo and they haven't been back for a while. They come back and I heard it over and over. It's not like what it used to be. You know, it's not like this, you know, people are just down partying and, you know, those types of things that, you know, it's, we're coming together for a great opportunity for our community to enjoy, you know, what our area has to offer. And it's not what it used to be.
And an absolute embrace of Wyoming cowboy culture. And you know, kind of building off of what you were talking about, sir, and I don't want to make anybody look greedy by any means, but more money is made by businesses, by the cowboys and the cowgirls who get out there and compete. The purses are larger. We get, you know, some very serious rodeo competitors now because they know, hey, I can go there. It's a good, safe spot. I can focus on the rodeo. I don't have to worry about anything else. And I think it's just, it's better for everybody all the way around. Switching gears on you, because we do have some other events coming up. The summer is not over yet, folks. We've got Dayton Days, the American Legion A-State Baseball Tournament, Sheridan County Fair, the Tournament of Knights, and Story Days taking place next month. Let's talk about Dayton Days, Sheriff. This is coming up this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes, it is. We have a 3-day schedule for Dayton Days. It kicks off Friday at 1 o'clock. There's a lot of family activities that take place over the 3 days. It encompasses with a movie in the park Friday night. Breaks out super early Saturday with the pancake breakfast, and then obviously we have the parade, and then the festivities carry through to that evening. So very much looking forward to it.
And this is kind of getting a little bit bigger every year too, isn't it? I mean, are you seeing more people kind of go up to Dayton during this event?
Yeah, you know, Dayton Days has always been a great event for years. I mean, it's and again, hats off to the town of Dayton. Same as like Wild Rodeo, Dayton Days used to be, again, one of those, oh my gosh, here we go. It was all geared towards the street dances, you know, that's Friday and Saturday night downtown. People are walking back and forth between the bars and stuff. And the establishments there, the bars do a great job too. They have some bars, some music playing and stuff. But again, it's family focused, community focused, and you can just see what they have on the schedule. The town of Dayton has done a great job. And again, less, you know, as far as law enforcement, it hasn't been, you know, this, you know, issue of things that we need to respond to, but we're out there again having positive interactions with individuals because of the great things that they put on. But yeah, it's getting big, and it's another fun event, and I enjoy it. It's, you know, I grew up in the Tongue River Valley in Dayton, and so getting out there and seeing again what it used to be like when I was in junior high school to what it is now. And it's an area where, hey, come and enjoy this as a family together, and all the activities has been amazing to see.
And just not having that worry. I mean, that weight, like you were talking about before, whether it be a couple days prior to the event or the day of, and you're just like out of breath before you even get on the track. You know, you're just not looking forward to it. And now everybody's looking forward to it. Everybody wants to be there. Everyone wants to grab their kid, throw them in the car, head up there for a great time. And that means a lot. LT, when it comes to parking, people kind of heading up to Dayton, it's not a huge town, not a whole lot of parking areas. Is there anything we should keep in mind if we go up and visit Dayton?
Just, I would say, get out there early. Obviously, you don't want to be the last one out there when it's going to start and be reeling to try to find a parking spot.
No one likes being that
guy. And they also shut the highway down a little bit too, right, when the parade starts, so for a brief second. So
get out there. Obviously, you don't want to park in front of a driveway, but I mean, there isn't ample parking. You have the park and then obviously the neighborhoods to park in, but as the sheriff said, the highway gets shut down, and so you're also going to be, the traffic's going to be congested when the main thoroughfare road is shut down. There is an alternate route that we open up, and so we'll have deputies on scene to direct traffic around where the parade route is.
Okay.
For that time frame.
So if we do have to conduct some business up there, go talk to Farmer John about something, we got a way to get there.
Yep, you got a way to get through there.
The American Legion Tournament, bringing teams from all across the Cowboy State. Lieutenant, how does the department prepare for events that bring in so many visitors from out of town?
Well, we, as a reality, we just, as the sheriff had said, we'll coordinate our activities, our approach. We'll get our manpower together and kind of come up with a game plan. This weekend is no exception because we do have quite a few events that are taking place. With that in mind, we have spoken with some of the staff for these events, and we'll ensure that we do have patrol staff on hand to either do a drive-by through there or walk through there or be a presence.
Yeah, and I'm sure there's a deputy somewhere who's interested in the games that are going to be taking place, kind of want to be on the ground. Yes, they're keeping everybody safe, but they've got one eye on the scoreboard as well.
Oh, absolutely. And I think it's just important, like, when we can get on and let folks know, especially our residents in the area that maybe they know, like, you know, I'll get phone calls, man, there's so many people in town, what's going on, the traffic? Well, we have all these events. We have Dayton Days, so we have families coming in to enjoy that. You know, the Legion A State Baseball Tournament, like, like I'm one of those deputies, one of those law enforcement. My son's plays, you know, is playing, you know, for the Jets, and so we'll be there. But like you've got their families, you know, the teams coming in for that, you know, state fair, you know, the county fairs, yeah. You know, kicking off, all of these things. And so it's just for us to educate our own county residents to know there's going to be a lot of people coming into town. So we talk about defensive driving, right? Make sure that you're aware that it may take a little bit longer to get from point A to point B downtown because of all the activities going on. So, you know, give yourself some time, you know, don't get frustrated. Just enjoy the fact that people are coming and wanting to share what we all get to enjoy every single day.
Our best foot forward. That's the best way to put it, you know, that I can think of is, you see these folks coming in from out of town. Don't shake your head at the odd-looking license plate on the back. Instead, welcome them a cowboy way.
You know, like I say, like you know, and you go to the Cowboy Cafe and you have breakfast every morning. You know, you and a group of individuals, and you have your table. Just understand that there may be a new family coming in or that's here. You know, partaking. Like, you know, wave to them, say hi. You know, welcome to Sheridan. Don't be mad that they took your table, you know, at the local, you know, cafe or things like that, you know, because it happens. I've gotten my family and I have gotten those looks before when we're visiting other towns and getting to enjoy what those other communities have to offer. And, you know, you can hear, hey, they took our table. You know, they're whispering and you're like, okay, so.
But you're right, Sheriff. It's those small things like that. And where we travel around the state of Wyoming, I do a lot of staycations. And I'm always looking for that little cafe that I know where the farmers go, because that's where I was brought up. Golden Spur in Afton, Wyoming. You went there to figure out what was going on with everything in the world. And my dad had spent hours in there, and I'd belly up to their cafe bar type of deal, and the guide make sure that my soda was never dry.
Yep, I can learn more about a community. You know, law enforcement officers were, you know, trained to be, you know, observant and stuff. We go into a local diner cafe and I sit back and I know all about the community in just probably 15, 20 minutes of sitting there, because you can hear, you know, just that community talk. And not that I'm eavesdropping in a sense, but just they're there talking about, you know, their community and they're proud of it and all those things. And you can just tell what kind of community it is by just that quick little interaction of sometimes of those places like the cafes.
And we want folks to know the Sheridan is a great community. So when you have those interactions, folks, just give them a good old welcome. All right, I do have to take a quick commercial break. James is about to come through the window at me. All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. We'll be right back with the Sheriff of Sheridan County.
Since 1935, First Federal Bank and Trust has been a cornerstone of Sheridan.
And to celebrate 90 years of community commitment, we're donating $90,000 to 10 nonprofit organizations in Sheridan. Each month through November, we'll honor our legacy of community support by investing in a local nonprofit.
This month, First Federal will award $9,000 to CHAPS Equine Assisted Therapy.
90 years, $90,000. Community commitment at its finest. Visit efirstfederal.bank, member FDIC.
Join Weatherby for their third annual film festival Fall Kickoff Classic on August 1st. This year, they will be joined by Remy Warren from Live Wild, Casey Butler from Hush, and more conservation groups. Sit back and relax and get inspired by another lineup of exciting films. Weatherby will have incredible raffles, including chances to win Weatherby firearms and other merchandise. Pre-show starts at 4 p.m. at the YO Theater. Movies start at 7 p.m. sharp. Tickets are sold at yotheater.com. We'll see you August 1st.
Clementine, I got the papers right here. Says I own the Tipsy Buffalo, fair and square.
Forged, just like your smile, Dirk. I wouldn't trust you to pour water on a fire, let alone run a saloon.
Oh, but I plan to run all of Sheridan, sweetheart.
Find out if Clementine stops Dirk in time and trouble in the bighorns at the Caleb Shrine Auditorium, July 25th, 6th, and 7th. $10 at the door. Find more info at aceintheholeplayers.com.
Hi, this is Becton Sillers with the Lucky 7 4-H Club. The Sheridan County 4-H and FFA youth have worked hard throughout the year on our projects. We invite you to come to the fair and the livestock sale on August 4th at the Sheridan County Fairgrounds at 5 p.m. Can't make it to the fair or sale? You can still stream them live on SheridanMedia.com. Processing dates are already reserved, so get your locally sourced meat at the Sheridan County Fair livestock sale.
Looking for an investment with staying power? Synergy Shop Aminiums in Sheridan is the smart choice for stable, long-term returns. Own your own commercial space, lease it, grow a business, or resell for profit. With high demand and limited availability, these Shop Aminiums are smart money. Built to last, designed to earn. Don't miss your chance to own real property with real potential. Contact Sheridan Realty Associates and ask about Synergy Shop Aminiums and invest smart.
Good morning. Welcome back to Public Pulse, proudly brought to you by our friends out there at First Federal Bank and Trust. I'm Floyd Whiting. With me this morning, Sheridan County Sheriff Levi Dominguez and Undersheriff Lieutenant Doug Sanders. Now, we got a lot of events going on. I'm running out of time because I'm a jawjacker. And we just got done talking about the American Legion Tournament, bringing in teams from all across Cowboy State. We do have the Sheridan County Fair kicking in. We'll touch on this really fast. Sheriff, what is the Sheriff's Department, or excuse me, Sheriff's Office involvement when it comes to County Fair?
Well, you know, I'll let Lieutenant Sanders talk a little bit about it, but
This event is really unlike no other event that we have. We obviously want a visible presence within the community, specifically this one encompassing or being primarily at the fairgrounds. Will ensure that we get in there. Either it's going to be on foot, making, you know, just conversing with the people that are there enjoying their day, or a drive-by in a march patrol unit. We do have one kind of exception to this. Since this is within the realm of the city of Sheridan, we'll likely get some assistance with them driving through in their march patrol units as well.
Does the Sheriff's Department have any horses left?
No horses patrol anymore with the sheriff's office in Sheridan County. You know, there's a few sheriff's offices throughout Wyoming that does, but we do not. I letting our community know to get out and support these kids with the Sheridan County Fair. They've been working hard all year long, you know, raising their livestock and putting together their projects. And so, you know, I saw something the other day on social media, and I think it really hits home. Like, we rally and get to the football games, get to the baseball games, get to the basketball games to support, you know, our athletes, and likewise, like, you know, for those, you know, musicians and things like that, we need to rally and get to those things. But same with Sheridan County Fair, we need to rally behind these kids who are out working tirelessly, endlessly, taking care of their livestock, getting ready for their for to show these and their projects. And so, as a community, we need to be proud of them and support them and get out there and show that support for them.
I agree 100% on this, sir. It's a preservation of culture, and one that we all know is disappearing far too quickly, and that's the ag community, cornerstone of who America really is. And the preservation of this through our children and all the hard work that they're doing every single year. Plus, I'll tell you what, I didn't really start attending a lot of county fairs until I started working in the news biz. And I love them. You know, I never thought that going and watching even just kids show, you know, pigs and goats, it's entertaining. It's informative. And you end up seeing some of the best animals you've ever seen in your life.
And some of the hardest working individuals.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Inspiring. Inspiring. Yep. We also have the Tournaments of Knights. This one's a really fun one. I know the sheriff, you're probably not going to be out there in Sheriff of Nottingham outfit, but I imagine you will be present.
We'll see how it goes. You know, we'll probably have a sheriff's office presence out, you know, depending on the state tournament, you know, with our, I'm hoping the Jets will be playing, you know, 7 p.m. every night moving on. They start tonight and keep rolling. So, you know, my heart will be watching our oldest son Will play. And so that's where I'll be. But we'll certainly, the sheriff's office will have have some sort of presence.
Maybe one day we'll get you in a hat with a giant plume, but not this year.
Yeah, I have a lot of buddies saying that. Yep.
Story Days coming in late August. This is also another fantastic event for one of our smaller communities in Sheridan County. Undersheriff, again, you know, a lot of little towns having a great party, parking, highway, things we should keep an eye out for.
Yeah, all the same. I mean, Story's no different than what we see for Dayton, Claremont, and even Parkman. You know, they all have main thoroughfare roads. Parking's somewhat at a premium, so to speak. They got a parade in which part of the road is shut down. So it's just be mindful and cognizant of the festivities going on and that you're probably going to have adults and kids alike going back and forth across the roadway.
And I always tell people, you know, remember, folks, yes, we teach our little ones to look both ways, but they're more concerned about their buddy across the street that they see than they are about the cars going across that road. So be mindful, keep your head on a swivel as you're driving through those places, and, you know, expect the unexpected. Moving on down the line, we do have some fire restrictions. Sheriff, I wanted you to just maybe touch on this a little bit and remind folks of just exactly what restriction are in place right now.
Yeah, no, thanks, Floyd. I'll, Lieutenant Sanders, talk about it a little bit.
Fire restrictions that we generally get in place every year. I think we've been somewhat fortunate this late in the year. We got the restrictions in July, and we haven't seen the residual smoke or haze that we seem to have every summer.
Every year.
Basically, the restrictions are the same. It restricts fire usage within the county. The exception is city, municipalities, and Forest Service, but trash and refuse fires are permitted between the hours of 6 p.m. and 8 a.m. You have to have a 15-foot radius between the fire itself and a structure or building. Cutting torches or electric welders are permitted in cleared areas. Obviously, again, a 15-foot radius in between that and a structure or uncleared grass, like tall grass. Fireworks are strictly prohibited unless a permit for supervised public display of fireworks is granted by the Board of County Commissioners. Recreational, and this is probably a big one for the community as well. Recreational fires are permitted at single-family homes, duplexes, townhomes, in accordance with the guidelines outlined below. And those guidelines are basically just a general fire that it's not rubbish, but it's kind of specifically like an incinerator, outdoor fireplace, barbecue grill, and is not and is intended for cooking warmth, religious, ceremonial, or other special purposes. Those are allowed, and I'm taking this straight from our partial fire restriction for Sheridan County, the resolution that was entered. It's actually available on the county website as well, if any of the listeners would like to get it in more detail. But I think I covered everything. I don't know if I missed anything, Sheriff.
Yeah, no, just be responsible. Yeah. You know, use common sense, a lot of it, for sure.
And always remember, folks, you get in those tall grasses and things like motorcycle mufflers, four-wheeler mufflers, things like that can create a fire. Yeah. And I think that was something that you brought up a couple years ago that had never even crossed my mind. And my father, now that he's 80 years old, he's one of those individuals who enjoys his side-by-side as opposed to having to saddle the horse again. And he rides out there, and he actually told me that. He said, you never park that in the tall grass. What are you thinking? Move it over here to the side. Yep. I mean, them old guys, they got something going on out there. Yep. Sheriff, I only got about 3 minutes left, but I do want to ask you either if you would like to touch on the scam that's going around or the statute of the
month. No, I think we should talk about the scam primarily just because I think this is important and this affects our community greatly with all the individuals and things. You know, I want to touch base just briefly on the scam we talked about last month. You know, those websites, you know, the legitimate looking like their websites. Be mindful of that. Don't be wiring money to anybody without actually physically seeing, touching, knowing what you're buying, right? I mean, that's, you're flushing money down the toilet when you do that. So make sure you really do. And you know, those, you know, we talked, you can go back to the stories and talk about those ones. Another one that's making its realm is the PayPal scam. Folks are getting emails saying your PayPal account has been charged, you know, so much money. You know, and folks will be like, wait, I never did anything with PayPal this week, or I don't even have a PayPal account. But, you know, so they start contacting, you know, the individual that emailed them, and they say, oh, yeah, you didn't have that. That's right. Well, we can stop that, but we're going to need a lot of your personal information. We're going to need your bank account information. We're going to need all this. And then they, that's how they get the in, right? Mm-hmm. And so they get all your their information. So that's a scam. You know, mostly if you're doing PayPal, you know, the transactions that you're going on. But if you don't have PayPal, again, you know, don't fall for that going, oh, no, somebody, you know, I think we had somebody saying, well, my identity must have been stolen because they're using PayPal under that. No, they're just trying. So they started giving information out, and we don't give information out. And then they wanted to, well, stay on the line, like go to the bank and, you know, get money, you know, the whole nine yards of so. Another way of getting into you and getting your personal information and is that, you know, getting emailed, asking for your information, you giving it to them, and now they have an into your bank account.
And one thing that you and I always kind of try to advise or suggest to folks, if any company contacts you and says, oh, you're in trouble, well, hang up or don't respond to that email. Contact that company directly.
Absolutely. And then go back and then find the, you know, the legitimate website number or whatever. Give us a call. This one of the individuals actually drove to the sheriff's office while they're and say, I don't know what to do. And they did exactly what we have been talking about.
Fantastic.
And then we said, nope, this is a scam. Let's go ahead and stop and everything. You know, it all worked out. But, you know, those are the things. Yep. Hang up.
And that's another thing I want to remind folks. You can go to the sheriff's office for this. If you're, you know, confused, if you're concerned, head to the sheriff's office, head to the police station, ask them questions. What do you think? What are you seeing? Because 9 times out of 10, you've seen this scam. You understand how it's going, especially you, Sheriff. You're kind of keeping a list of what the heck Sheridan County's come up against in the past couple of years. And so they always go to the repeaters, right? The ones that have worked in the past. And more than likely, the sheriff's department or the SPD has got information on this, and they can give you the best advice going forward. Sheriff, Undersheriff, I want to thank you both so much for coming in this morning. It's always a pleasure seeing you, and I hope you guys have a great weekend.
Yeah, thanks for having us. Have a great weekend.
I hope the kid has a great weekend, too, out
there
on the mountain.
Thank you. Appreciate it. Thank you.
All right, you've been listening to Public Pulse on 930 KROE and 103.9 FM. Sheridan.
Another great summer event is coming up soon, the Sheridan County Fair.
Fair and livestock exhibitions are the foundation for agricultural promotion and a time to remind everyone of the key role that agriculture plays in our local economy and daily lives. It provides opportunities for youth and adult education.
The First Federal Bank and Trust family would like to extend congratulations to all the youth who worked so hard all year long to be able to show at the County Fair. Community is the heart of First Federal.
First Federal Bank and Trust, true community banking, member FDIC.
This is Brad at Prime Rate Motors Super Trailer Store, here to tell you we are completely stocked up with all types of aluminum and steel livestock trailers. We carry the most proven, durable brands like Wilson, Merritt, Murhau, and GR. With over 30-plus in-stock models available, we are eager to make you a deal you cannot resist. All types of trade-ins are accepted and financing is available. That's Prime Rate Motors, 2305 Coffin Avenue, and online at primeratemotors.com.
Mark your calendars, Sheridan. Something lucky is landing soon. Lucky Seven's Gaming Parlor, the first one in the state on Coffeen Avenue. We're bringing you the latest gaming experience. From high-stakes games to nail-biting horse racing action. And when you're ready for a break, step into our new full-service bar for a cold drink and happy-go-lucky vibes. You've got the charm, and we've got your Lucky Sevens. Check us out at LuckySevensWY.com. Must be 21 or older to play. Please game responsibly.
Quit spending more than you have to for irrigation systems. This is Brad Walden with C&K Equipment, and we're now selling and installing T&L irrigation systems. There's no better system, period. T&L irrigation systems are forged in America. They have the best water patterns, a winning edge controller, their hydraulics-based systems, and tidal hydration lug means less downtime. Plus, if you're having problems, we're there to service, even on weekends. We know time is money. Call us, C&K Equipment Sales, 674-6405.
We'll be right back.
From Billings to Buffalo, this is the News Talk Station, FM 103.9 and 930 AM KROE.
KROE.